Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Paul was dealing with a group of people at Corinth that were purely driven on what they were seeing and what they were feeling, rather than the complete opposite, which was faith.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Sometimes it's difficult, the longer you are saved, to recall events that happened in your life in the early years of your walk with Christ. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more intimate, I believe, the relationship you would have with Him. As you open up God's Word, it moves from a textbook to a portrait of a person, because that's what it is. And He does force us to walk by faith. He forces us into that. 2 Corinthians 5:7 is a simple statement, but one that was very profound to me that Paul made, and want to key off of this. As we saw the disciples living by faith, God putting them into a place that they had to walk by and live by and act by faith, not by fear. And when Paul made the statement, 2 Corinthians 5, that we walk by faith, not by sight, he's saying that we are walking by, living by things that you cannot see, but you believe in and act on that, rather than by your senses, not just by what you see, your sight, as he says. And it's the context of our own bodies, verse 1, chapter 5, that we have a building of God, and He who is a tent maker is likening our body as unto a tent. And that someday we're going to have a glorified body. Those of you that are older, as your body begins breaking down and deteriorating and does not get stronger, but gets weaker, that mortality is going to be clothed with immortality. And has, in verse 5, given us a down payment or an earnest payment by the Spirit of God that lives within us. And then he uses the statement in verse 7 that we are confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, living here on this earth, we're absent from the Lord. Then he says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, he says again, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're at one place or another. You are not, there's not spirits that are floating around of someone else that's died and somewhere looking for a home. And so you have to maintain your tomb or their tomb. And so because they got to go back and make sure everything's okay. To be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord, and by faith, believing that. And so he expounded on that, not only in concept of our body, but also just by our living. And all through the New Testament, there's a constant running theme of living by faith. The question is, what stage are you in your faith? If we're to walk by faith, not by sight, the longer we are saved, we know the Lord, the more we should be living by faith in our decisions, in our problem solving, in our activity. I know that in 1976, when I personally had sat under some really hard preaching, and I've mentioned before in Michigan under a guy named Del Faisenfeld, that I was like 2 weeks of sitting every night under this preaching because I'd committed to travel with this revival team, and we had training all day long, and then at night, 2 and 3 hour services. And after a couple of weeks, I walked out the back of a service at a Nazarene church that we were using and walked out the back and over to a small pavilion and gave my life to Christ. Over the next year or so, I found myself at times feeling up and down in my walk with the Lord, a constant sense that something was wrong. I found myself many times felt like something was wrong and just couldn't get things right. I felt like there was more defeats than victories. It was very much of an up and down life. I felt like I just couldn't and wasn't going to make it. I had a huge desire to want to do right. It just seemed like I'd take 2 steps forward and at least two or three steps backward. And then the more I evaluated and looked at it and been challenged, that I realized that for my entire life previous to that, even though I'd sat in services and heard preaching and lived in a home, there's a Christian home, and I was thankful for it, I felt like so much of what I was doing was operating on my feelings. Living in California, it probably lent to that. Most of the music that I listened to, not only secular but also Christian, was really geared for my feelings. If it felt good, I thought it was a great song. If it didn't feel good, it just wasn't a very good song. That's when Calvary Chapel, when a young guy named Chuck Smith started a little tent meeting at the beach at Huntington. And so that, to me, was what Christianity was. Every weekend, getting on towards spring and all through the summer, because it felt like it was the best thing to do, lived by my feelings. So go to the beach, that's the best thing to do because it's kind of fun. And so my whole life revolved around what was fun. And I was a ripe old age at that time, in my teen years, and I'm using this just as an illustration. I want you to miss the point. I'm not saying it to talk about me, but I want you to understand that that stage of life, even after I got saved, I found that as I looked at what was driving me, and even now spiritually, was being driven by my feelings. And so whatever the best movie was in town, we had to go to the movie. And there wasn't videos at that time, and so that was the only thing we had. Then when I found that Christianity also provided that, that feelings became the biggest part of everything I did. So now I'm starting to make decisions. I was many times making decisions based on what I saw and my feelings, not on what was by faith. And so as I began realizing that that's why my life was so up and down, I would confess and shouldn't think that or do that and have a few days of good devotions, which I thought if I read my Bible for 15 minutes a day for a few weeks, I was like the spiritual giant. And there would be a week or two I wouldn't read as much, and I would then read a little more. And then I found that, you know, I start trying to, will someone come along and say something? So I've got to do that. You know, you got to give. So I started giving a lot. And then someone else come along and say, you really need to know the Bible more. So I try and study the Bible more. Then someone come along and preach on praying high and prayer. So I'd try and pray more. And I found myself starting to do as many things as I could to generate a real sense of peace. Also, what didn't help was relationships that we had. And so the relationships that I had developed through high school and dating relationships as well, always based on a very feeling or any relationship. Now, I say all that because Paul was dealing with a group of people at Corinth that were purely driven on what they were seeing and what they were feeling rather than the complete opposite, which was faith. So what I wanted to do was, just years ago, I saw this and adapted a little bit because it was very helpful to me at that stage of my life to realize that this was a process that God was taking me through, that He had taken and wants to take every Christian through. Fact is, back up a chapter, two chapters, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me read this with you, and then we'll move forward here. I'm not going to belabor this whatsoever. But understand that this is what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when he was talking eventually to the Jews, when he said in verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And then he uses an Old Testament illustration of Moses, which he put a veil over his face. You remember that story? And the children of Israel couldn't look steadfastly to the end, that which is abolished. Then he uses that illustration, verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And he's saying to the Jews, the veil of unbelief was over their eyes. They've missed the fact that Christ is the Messiah. And to the Jews, they have missed that and therefore missed salvation. And they could continue to do the Old Testament regulations and doing all kinds of things, but that's not going to bring salvation. Because he knew that there were religions that were going to continue to say that, keep doing all the right things, and you'll maintain and sense and feel your salvation. And so he's taking them from the point of purely living on their feelings and what they're doing to the point now, verse 15, for even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They're not realizing that the Old Testament are pictures and portraits and metaphors of the Christ. Nevertheless, verse 16, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. They'll be saved. And therefore, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Then he says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, and he touches on progressive sanctification, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What Paul is saying here is what is continually, repetitively said in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 3, 23 and 24, when really what we're talking about in verse 14 of this passage, the minds were blinded, they're purely running on their feelings, or in other words, they're unsaved, 2 Corinthians 3:14, their hearts are veiled. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible talks about a natural man, or Romans 3, 23 and 24, talking about a person that's living in sin. They're living on their feelings. You work with and live with people every day. Our community and every community in the world has people that are living on their feelings. They're unsaved. Their eyes are blinded. You can talk to them about Christ. They're hearing you, but they're not understanding you. They're watching your lips move, but they're not seeing anything. You cannot get frustrated with them. Christ never condemned a diseased, demon-depressed person or an unsaved person. Jesus Christ came in the world, he loved the world. Someday, he will not come as he did the Savior. He's going to come as the judge. And until that time, the best thing we can do for the unsaved community is to love them, not despise them, because you and I were once there also. Do you remember how you were? You ran on your feelings. Every decision you made was what you thought, what you felt, or you felt pressure from someone else. If you were married, your spouse or your children, but you did not seek God. And if you did seek God, it was only on the basis of a calming of your conscience. You lived on your feelings. And that's why when Paul said, in other words, they're veiled, they just don't see it. And when you move from that, that's the point of salvation, 2 Corinthians 3:17. And when that salvation takes place, Christ comes into a life, the veil is pulled away, and all of a sudden you start seeing life the way it should be. And that begins the process then of a huge liberty that God gives you in Christ. And he says it this way, you move from glory to glory, from one stage of seeing God to another stage. Or he says it another way, as 1 Corinthians 3, 1-4, he talked to the people at Corinth in an earlier letter and said, you're carnal, you are fleshly, you are still living by your feelings. Question, can a saved person still live by their feelings? Evidently, Bible says, or living by our flesh. In other words, there's a stage here in your early Christian walk with God where you now have moved from a life that's filled with self. And salvation comes in, you're born again, you receive Christ, and now the process of glory to glory, or a carnal man, or Romans 7:18, that talks about a self-dedicated person. You're dedicating yourself to God, Romans 12:1. You could put that down also. You're not living now in sin. Christ has saved you from yourself. And now the process of moving from living by your feelings to living by faith, not walking in sight, but walking by faith.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.